From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Once again, it's our privilege to welcome you to a broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. As he proceeds with this study in the law of God, Dr. Cairns continues to deal with the ninth commandment, Thou shalt not bear false witness. The overall thrust of this commandment is the preservation and promotion of truth in the use of the tongue. God has set this commandment in the context of a legal proceeding by use of the term witness. In fact, part of its purpose was the safeguarding of Israel's legal system, in which witnesses were given great power. Similarly, our tongues have great power for good or for evil. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. Before he comes, we invite your attention to this brief devotional selection taken from C.H. Spurgeon's Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, Better Farther On. The text is found in Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 12. Though I have afflicted thee, I will afflict thee no more. There is a limit to affliction. God sends it, and God removes it. Though you sigh and say, When will the end be? Remember that our griefs will surely and finally end when this poor earthly life is over. Let us quietly wait and patiently endure the will of the Lord till He cometh. Meanwhile, our Father in heaven takes away the rod when His design in using it is fully served. When He has whipped away our folly, there will be no more strokes. Or, if the affliction is sent for testing us, that our graces may glorify God, it will end when the Lord has made us bear witness to His praise. We would not wish the affliction to depart till God has gotten out of us all the honor which we can possibly yield Him. There may today be a great calm. Who knows how soon those raging billows will give place to a sea of glass, and the seabirds sit on the gentle waves? After long tribulation, the flail is hung up, and the wheat rests in the garner. We may, before many hours are past, be just as happy as now we are sorrowful. It is not hard for the Lord to turn night into day. He that sends the clouds can as easily clear the skies. Let us be of good cheer. It is better on before. Let us sing hallelujah by anticipation.
When engulfed by the terror of tempestuous sea, unknown waves before you roll, at the end of doubt and peril is
Savior's nails are that will
From time to time, here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the LTBSradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
God did, or made Israel do everything possible to ensure the integrity and the honesty of witnesses. For example, witnesses in a capital case had to be the first in executing the judgment that their witness called for. Deuteronomy 17 verse 7, the hands of the witnesses shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterward the hands of all the people, so shalt thou put away evil from among you. Now there are many people who could lie without much conscience, but it's a different thing when to prove the honesty of your accusation, you've got to go out before God and men, and you take the instrument of death in your own hand. It is not an anonymous executioner that puts this man to death. It is your hand that's first upon him. That was one safeguard God built into the system. Then there was another, a very powerful one. You read of it in Deuteronomy 19, verses 16 to 19, that false witnesses were exposed to the very punishment that they sought to bring on an innocent party by their lying witness. This is what the Lord says in verse 18 and 19. If the witness be a false witness and hath testified falsely against his brother, then shall ye do unto him as he had thought to have done to his brother, so shalt thou put the evil away from among you. So the witnesses were to be honest. The Lord warned the judges to judge righteously. In the words of Jehoshaphat to his judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Moses told them in Deuteronomy 16 and 19, thou shalt not wrest judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift or a bribe, for a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. Now, this is the basic meaning of the ninth commandment. It's a divine directive to a nation to establish a pure and a just judicial system that will be equally accessible to all its subjects. Now, when that fails, a nation becomes a very easy prey to tyranny and indeed to anarchy. That places a great burden on the legal profession. I know that lawyers are people we love to hate, and lawyers' jokes are always doing the rounds. I pity our brother Tim Farr here, because everybody who hears a lawyer's joke runs straight to Tim to tell him the latest thing about lawyers. But remember, it was God who established lawyers in Israel, and he gave them, and still gives to them, a very noble task. Tragically, the position of the lawyer has all too often been prostituted for financial gain or for political office. The prosecutor or the prosecution witness who presents only those aspects of his case, only those aspects of the truth that he deems will suit his cause. And his cause is a conviction rather than the truth. That prosecutor is a liar according to the ninth commandment. Similarly, the counsel who says his only concern is to get his client off, no matter what the cost in the malignant slurs that he hurls at honest witnesses, or no matter how he plays fast and loose with the truth to let a criminal loose on an unsuspecting society, that counsel will find that at the judgment bar of God there is no place for his specious arguments, and he will be damned as a liar, because all liars have their part in the lake that burns with fire. I saw a lawyer in operation in a report not too long ago. Some of you may have seen him too. One of the most disgusting perversions of the legal profession that's possible to see. We're under the pretext that everybody must have a defense. Admission of guilt would have been the best defense. A man who had wiped out a family by drunken driving, with a history of some 15 years of drunken driving and scoffing at every law of the land and ignoring anything that any court or any judge could do to him. The lawyer said, "My only aim is to get him off." And he could lie and twist and pervert. The tragedy is, though he failed in that case, in the vast majority of his cases, he succeeds. And unless he repents when he stands before God, he'll be damned. Not as a great man of law, not as a successful advocate, but as a liar, condemned of God. Now, if this is applicable in the state, it's much more applicable in the church. And here in the Church of Christ, the standard of judgment must be truth. Even when the state sets up a different standard, the church must not accept it. For example, if you were with us when we were studying the seventh commandment, you'll know that the law of God sets its own standards for morality. Now, the state sets different standards. The law of God sets its standard for divorce. The state sets different standards. In some cases, those who adopt the state standards stand condemned as adulterers by the standard of the Word of God. Now, God save us from getting to the place where we sit back in our little holy box and we say, there's the big bad world out there and we can't ever have anything to do with it or anything to say to it. The church must minister to adulterers and every other kind of sinner. But it must not enshrine adultery as an acceptable standard of judgment or behavior in the house of God. Now, this then is the thrust of the ninth commandment. It condemns corrupt judicial proceedings, truth, not opinion, not vengeance, not envy, or any other motive. Truth must be the basis of judgment. Mercy may operate, but it can only operate on the basis of truth. That's a point I would love to have time to develop. But I want you to understand that mercy can only operate on the basis of accepted truth. Where truth is denied, it is not mercy that triumphs. It is total injustice. And once truth is clear, then no man's position, no man's money, no man's influence, no man's friends should be able to protect him from its just and biblical sentence. So this ninth commandment then aims to protect the judicial system of a nation. And here in America, this is something you can think of. You would be amazed at just how much of the safeguard we enjoy is derived from those built into the Word of God. We have much for which to be grateful there. But this ninth commandment goes a lot beyond the merely judicial. It reaches to every relationship of life. For example, it condemns lying. Our text says, "Thou shalt not bear false witness. The word false there has the idea of lying witness. You will remember that in Deuteronomy 5, the Ten Commandments are repeated. And there it says again, in Deuteronomy 5:20, thou shalt not bear false witness. But it's a different Hebrew word. There really isn't a world of difference in the meaning. But this one means vain or empty or baseless. There is what you're told. You must not bear lying witness. You must not bear vain or empty or baseless witness against your neighbor. So this condemns lying. But that raises a question. And I'm only going to touch it tonight. I had prepared to preach a long section on this. And then I've thought and prayed about this. And knowing the will of God and the leading of the Lord, I think I will have to leave a lot of this to some other occasion. If this were in print, that's something you could cover much more easily. But since you can only sit for so long, I'm going to cut down on the question and answer, what is lying? Because believe me, it's a lot fuller than most people imagine. But let me sum up. Lying is deliberately representing as true what we know and believe to be untrue. That's lying. When you represent something as truth when you know it to be untruth, that's lying. Lying has in it the idea of willful deception. That's the Lord's own definition. In Psalm 101 verse 7, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. And in many of these verses in the Psalms, there's a deliberate parallelism, so that the first line is actually expounded by the second line. What does the Lord mean? He that worketh deceit shall not dwell in my house. He tells you what it means. He who tells lies shall not tarry in my sight. So, lying is willful deception. We read in Isaiah 59 verse 13 what I think is a good summary definition of lying. It is uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Now the word of God condemns that. Psalm 5 verse 6, thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. And that's an old fashioned Anglo-Saxon word for lies. Thou shalt destroy them that speak lies. Zechariah chapter 8 verse 16. Speak ye every man the truth to his neighbor. Execute the judgment of truth and peace within your gates. Let none of you imagine evil in your heart against his neighbor, and love no false oath. For all these are things that I hate, saith the Lord. Paul brings this to our attention again in Ephesians 4, verse 25, where he says, wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. In Colossians 3:9, he puts it bluntly, lie not one to another, seeing you put off the old man with his deeds. The verse I quoted from Revelation 21, at the very end of Scripture, we are told, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. This is the second death. So clearly then, the ninth commandment condemns lying.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.